In 2009, young Melbourne lawyer Jesse Taylor explored the detention centres and jails in Indonesia wearing a hidden camera. The subsequent film, Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea, uncovered the appalling conditions and the years that refugees must wait in such camps, and the truth about why so many desperately board boats to come to Australia. At a public talk in Adelaide today, Jessie will look critically at Australia's refugee policy. She came into the studio a little while ago and explained why the current policies of both parties don't work.
Well, let's examine that expression or that catch cry, stop the boats. You know, what does stop the boats actually mean? You need to figure that out before you can even have a sensible conversation about it. If by stop the boats you mean give people an opportunity to come otherwise than by boat so that they don't lose their lives at sea, I'm all for that. Stop the boats. But if it is in fact shorthand for make sure that people are deprived of their lawful right to seek asylum in Australia, I'm totally against it. As it is at the moment, people who arrive by boat are subject to the no advantage principle, which means they can't even make an application for asylum, regardless of how sick they are, how old they are, if they're pregnant with, you know, octuplets, it makes no difference. They're subject to the no advantage policy. And that is deterrent. It's deterrent at its very heart. And that's a real ethical issue, I think, for Australia, because the fact of the matter is, until Australia's treatment of people is worse than the Taliban, unless they fear Australia more than they fear the Taliban, they're going to keep coming. Because, you know, even indefinite detention in a hellhole is a more attractive prospect, perhaps, than losing your family to the Taliban. So it's a real shame that a country like Australia, which has voluntarily assumed obligations and responsibilities under the Refugees Convention, is now being deterrent and is now closing those doors even to some of the world's most vulnerable and most deserving genuine refugees.
So if you were Prime Minister, what would you do?
I would set up, oh God forbid, but nobody wants that job. I would set up a well-structured, well-managed resettlement system from Southeast Asia. Give people an option not to get on boats, whereby even if they know they'll be waiting 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, if you give people a time that they will have a life available to them, that they will be able to send their kids to school, they'll be able to work, they'll be able to, you know, get on with life, as they can't at the moment in Indonesia, for example, people will wait. They will wait. At the moment, all we are doing is punishing people for getting on boats without giving them any other alternative than to get on a boat.
Is it up to Australia to come to an arrangement with Indonesia, though? Because I think some people see it that, you know, Indonesia's not doing the right thing. Why should we?
Well, Indonesia's not a signatory to the Refugees Convention, so that's a very simple answer at law. Practically speaking, however, there are obligations, for example, in Islam, where there are very heavy obligations on Muslims to welcome other Muslims who are refugees. So that has had some impact on the way that Indonesia has received these populations of refugees coming through. However, there comes a point where Indonesia doesn't want to be used as a warehouse by Australia anymore. There do need to be diplomatic conversations had between Australia and Indonesia. If Australia was saying to Indonesia, we'll take, you know, 6,000 or 5,000 or however many thousand a year from Indonesia, will you be able to give them, you know, the opportunity to go to primary school? Will you be able to give them some basic healthcare? Will you be able to protect them from being arrested on the street, taken to jails and beaten and tortured in those jails? Because that's the situation at the moment. If there were those diplomatic conversations where Australia could ask Indonesia to improve its conditions and Indonesia could see that Australia was genuinely attempting to shoulder its part of the bargain, we would get a lot further. And I think that is it's a real oversight that that's not happening at the moment.
Do you see any sign in politics that anybody might come at it from a different direction and do the kinds of things that you're talking about?
Well, Clive Palmer's rebuilding the Titanic, isn't he? So maybe that would be an option. At the Comedy Festival in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago, Waleed Ali and Charlie Pickering actually had a Stop the Boats solution whereby they chartered the entire P&O Fairstar fleet to take people from Indonesia and Sri Lanka on a world tour around the world before coming to Australia. On board, they got training in sport so that we could maybe reclaim the ashes with some help from some Sri Lankans. And they ended up teaching people how to build hospitals and how to contribute to the community, and all of this on a budget that was much, much less than the two-something billion dollars that we currently spend per year on keeping people in detention. And it was hilarious because they were getting Coldplay and ABBA and the Rolling Stones to come and play every Friday night for a year on each of these cruises, and it was costing less than our current solutions. And it was very, very funny, but my goodness, there's a point to be made there. And the current detention budget is around about $2 billion. And Richard Toll on Four Corners on Monday night, you might have heard him say that the UNHCR's global budget for a year is $3.7 billion. And they're expected to care for 25 million people with that money. And we're expected to lock up a couple of thousand. It's an appalling waste of money, and it's an appalling waste of human life as well.
In comedy may be the answer. That's Jessie Taylor, who is a lawyer and activist, speaking in Adelaide today.